Tour Junkies.
What's going on, golf addicts? Thank you for downloading the Tour Junkies podcast. This is the Shriners Hospital Open podcast. And Pat and I are going to talk about a couple things. Number one, Tiger's back. Eldrick Taunt is going to grace us with his presence at the Hero World Challenge, and we break it down. You've also got an announcement at the end of the podcast. You got to stick around for the end of the podcast. We've got a special little thing we want to give your way and give you an opportunity to do, and we're just trying to help you out. That's all it is. So stick around for the very end of the podcast. But hey, this is what I need you to know. If you guys are in a white-collar job where you're like, you need to look nice, you need to look professional, you need to not look like bums, okay? You need to go to ledbury.com/tourjunkies. That's ledbury.com/tourjunkies. If you're like me, you want to find the perfect button-down. You want it to fit right. You don't want it to be baggy like all of Pat's clothes. You don't want it to be cheap, and that's tough to do. So if you want to look professional, you want to look polished for your day job, you know, then you need to go to Ledbury. It's European quality. You don't pay a premium. It's very easy to return if you need to switch something out or it doesn't fit right, or you don't like the look, whatever. It's high quality stuff, but they have sport coats, pants, sweaters, and ties, but the sport shirts and the dress shirts are top notch. Myself and Pat have a couple Ledbury shirts. And I will say we look rather dapper, even Pat. So if you want a little hookup, we've got it for you. Go to ledbury.com/tourjunkies and use promo code tourjunkies, all one word, and you get 20% off your entire order, the first order. So check it out. And thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We hope you guys have a great week, and may your screens be green. What's up, golf addicts? It's the Tour Junkies podcast. It's your boy DB. I got my man PP on the ones and twos. We're ready for the Shriners Hospital Open from Las Vegas. It is a full field, no cut PGA Tour extravaganza. My man Pat, how are you, buddy?
Man, I'm good. You're sounding quite upbeat. You kind of were laying down some beats a little bit there.
I'm flipping the switch tonight, man. It's on.
Hey, good. Shriners, man.
Yeah, I'm jacked. I'm freaking jacked.
What's the juice tonight?
The podcast juice is, Pat.
Don't disappoint me here.
You may have opened the door. You may have opened the door that you often miss the opening, but you may have opened the door for me to get made fun of a little bit tonight.
Oh, no.
But I'm going to say this is a newly favorited drink of mine, and it might be a little hipster.
Be honest.
I'm going to be 100% honest. I'm drinking Tito's, which you enjoy.
Okay, well, I can't fault you there.
I love some Tito's with a lime, which is also always good. And I have it paired with LaCroix. Have you ever had LaCroix?
I have. It's not bad, you know. I mean, it's good for you, I guess. There's not a lot of
calories
in there. It's better than like tonic or something.
Yep, zero calories, zero carbs, zero sugar. It's sparkling water.
I'm okay with that, I think. You know, I mean, I'm more of a vodka or Tito's and club with a little splash of lime in there. And
I'm a big fan of that as well. Big fan of that as well.
But yeah, if you want a little different flavor, like what flavor LaCroix are you using? That's what I want.
This would be the passion fruit. Which may be why I'm so passionate tonight.
Okay.
No, it's good. You know, I will say this. This is a freebie. There's a lot of people in my office that drink LaCroix. Okay, there's actually a couple people in my office that listen to this podcast. Maybe they'll hear this. But for the last couple years, I've been working this job, and our owner stocks the fridge with certain drinks, and LaCroix has always been one of them. And for 2 years, I've made fun of everyone in my office that drinks LaCroix. Everyone. I work at a software company. It's a lot of like hipsters and young people, and I'm always like, you guys and your freaking LaCroix, that stuff's disgusting. And then a couple months ago, they were like, listen, you have to give it a try. It's an acquired taste. It's kind of like beer. Like you don't just drink it one time and decide you really like it. It's an acquired taste, and it hits that carbonation you know, that carbonation itch that you get every now and then. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I gave it a try for like 2 days. And I'm addicted. Like I literally crave LaCroix during the day. I crave it. It's weird. It's really weird. But now I'm like hooked on it. So our fridge is stocked with LaCroix. And, you know, but it's healthy. Like you said, it's a healthier option. And now I'm a total LaCroix homer. Did you know that LaCroix is actually publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange? Under the ticker symbol is Fizz.
Oh, so wow. So like Coke hasn't bought them or anything, Pepsi, you think?
No, they are 100% independent. And they're doing really well, actually. So that's a free stock tip for you. LaCroix is booming. Like, Publix can't keep LaCroix on the shelves, and the stock price has gone up. So that's a free tip. But yeah, try it. A little vodka LaCroix, give you a little flavor. I'm with you on the soda. If I'm out, vodka soda, veteran beverage. That's a veteran move. Good beverage. That's my drink of choice. If I'm out. You know, most of the time at home, it's like bourbon or something like that. But if I'm out, it's vodka soda, because most places don't have LaCroix. But at home, also, it's a refreshing option.
Okay, good. Well, I got a little red wine vino tonight, so.
Okay.
You know, I mean, as I said, when we switch over to the colder weather, and we have had some, it's been chilly.
Yeah, I mean, it's been cold.
I mean, I know we got some fans over in Minnesota. And wherever else.
Minnesota. Man, I saw Moose's tweet of the snow in Hazeltine.
Good God.
I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I'm beating balls on the range in shorts and a polo, and you're deciding to play your last round of the season in snow.
Yeah.
Negative.
Not happening.
Not for me.
I took the boys to the range yesterday, and it was like 20-mile-per-hour winds.
Yeah, yesterday was a little
and
cold.
Maybe like 50 degrees, and it was terrible. It was awful.
yeah, I hate it. Hey, speaking of red wine, Justin Rose won. That's a rosé, like a kind of a rosé transition there.
Maybe a
feeble attempt.
Yeah,
but Justin Rose just in our dreams. Like I literally go to sleep and I'm like, oh, DJ won the WGC. It's over. DJ and Brooks are gonna frolic down the final group on the back nine while the PGA Tour and golf media in general salivate all over themselves at the newly budding relationship that is Brooks and DJ. And I'm just gonna wake up and DJ will have run away with it by 6 or 7 strokes, ball game over. And I'm like, what the hell happened to DJ when I wake up on Sunday? Holy crap.
He cost me some good lineups too.
I did not see that coming. I mean, I really did not see that coming. It was the Rose victory was. I mean, in the beginning of the week, I would have seen it coming. Like Justin Rose winning, having a great. Yeah, I get that. Rosie's he's a world class player. You know, but when I went to bed and DJ's got the lead that he had, I'm like, there's no way he's coughing this up. Holy crap!
Can let's address the elephant in the room. I think we need to.
The LaCroix?
No.
Is this a LaCroix intervention?
No. I don't believe, now I could be wrong, I don't believe we've picked a winner this fall yet.
False. That is false.
We did. We did like Rose.
We've picked one.
We did.
No.
Which one did we pick? Ryan Armour?
No, we didn't pick.
Ryan Armour at the Sanderson Farms?
No, we also missed that one. Hey, in our defense, okay, We just didn't say anything about Rose.
Yeah.
We didn't, whatever. But we didn't pick him. We didn't, nobody picked Ryan Armour. Okay. Nobody picked Pat Perez the week he won. Okay. So we got that one right. There was Pat Perez. There was,
JT, it was
JT. We picked JT that week.
Okay.
No. What was the week after that? We picked one because I've been keeping tabs.
The CIMB?
Who won the CIMB?
Hell if I know. I can't even remember.
We suck at this.
Can't even remember.
Anyway, yeah. The picks, you know, we haven't had the winners, but we have had some decent picks.
No, our picks have been good. I'm just talking about winners. Picks have been fine.
Yeah, the winners is, but again, Ryan Armour, Pat Perez. I mean, there was just hardly anybody on those guys. We included. So I mean, it's not like we didn't outsmart anybody. That's for sure. On that one, but Yeah, we miss Brennan Steele at the Safeway. I mean, we did. I think we said we didn't hate him, but we weren't really on the back to back no form Brennan Steele train. We weren't really on that one.
This is gonna drive me crazy finding out who. Oh, well, CIMB was Perez, so
maybe it was Rose. Did we have a little bit of Rose last
maybe
week? I don't know. Hell, we'll find out. All right. Well, that's enough about our bad picks. Let's move on. let's move on.
I was just, you know, trying.
Ryan Armour, what a story. I mean, I feel like I just touch on that. Like, that was great. Great to see that guy win. Old guy wins his first tournament ever in a long time. It's a lot like a Rod Pampling story of the Shriners last year. You know, he stuck it in there. He did well. Fantastic. Actually, out of 11 guys we mentioned on the podcast last week for the Sanderson, only 3 missed the cut. And we had 2 in the top 10 and 4 top 25. So we actually
mentioned 11 guys.
Good Sanderson. Yeah, we mentioned 11 guys. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Like very quickly, but yeah.
Okay, good.
So anyway, so that was good. I touched on the DJ Brooks Love Fest. I mean, everyone saw that coming. Listen, people. Any tweets from now on from the PGA Tour, I don't care who they're from. Troll them. We are releasing the hounds, the Twitter trolls that follow TJ. Troll the crap out of all media outlets that want to shove these man relationships, these bromances in our faces nonstop, and like they're being so original. That's what I would say. The Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas thing, the Brooks Koepka DJ thing, just troll the fire out of them. Just do it. That's all I got to say. It's so annoying. It's so obnoxious. So if you're not on Twitter, which we tell you should be, that's the one good news about you not being on Twitter, is you're not subjected to all that. Although they do talk about it a lot on the coverage too, but at least it's not that bad.
I need to ask a question.
Yep.
What is it that they did anyway? I never saw it.
They basically said they've hung out almost every day since the President's Cup. And okay. And they're really solidifying the relationship. They've been friends, they've been buddies, but I think it was Brooks in a media thing basically said, "Yeah, me and DJ have hung out every day since the President's Cup." And the media just creamed themselves listening to that. So they've just been all over it.
Can you imagine the conversations they have?
Yeah, we don't need to get into that. Yep, I know. We need to avoid that. One of those guys has been on our podcast before,
okay,
and could be on again. So I don't want to. I thought about it. Yes, I have. I have imagined it actually.
Yeah. What? We can't talk. I mean, I think it'd be fun to talk about, but whatever.
Well, let's just move on.
Okay.
Hey, I think that there is one storyline. I just this Scott Strohmeyer guy. Did you see him?
I did not, but I saw the Chesson Hadley tweet about him.
I mean, it's a pretty remarkable deal.
It really
is. Chesson Hadley tweets that Scott Strohmeyer is the longest hitter he's ever witnessed, and he's played with Rory, DJ, Tiger. He's basically saying there is not this guy was hitting balls into another atmosphere all day long. And the guy Thursday qualified to play Monday, which I'll be honest, I mean, I've been following the PGA Tour for a long time. You know, we're a couple of DFS golf talking heads that actually love golf and loved golf before DFS. I had no idea you could Thursday qualify for a Monday qualify.
I didn't know that either.
Did you? Yeah, me neither. Like, I know about Monday qualifying into the tournaments. That's how it's been for a long time, but this dude had the Thursday qualified to get into the tournament, or to get into the Monday qualifier. Then he wins the Monday qualifier to get in to the Sanderson and finishes T4th, qualifies to play this week in Vegas, and I mean he was in the last group on Sunday.
That's
like nobody's ever heard of him.
Yeah,
it's a really great story. I don't suspect him to do very well in Vegas. If the guy is just that long, I mean, if he can keep it in the short grass, the guy could kill it. But it's an amazing story. I just think that's a cool follow. Scott Strohmeyer, whatever. Anyway, oh, that was kind of neat. We actually have bigger news to talk about, Pat. We want to get through some news here first. The big news of the day.
Go.
Eldrick Taunt Woods will be playing in the Hero World Challenge in December. Less than 2 months away.
Yes.
We will see Eldrick Taunt Woods competing in a golf tournament again. This is the same tournament he came back in last year coming off of injury in the Bahamas. It's his own tournament. He finished DFL, if you remember, but led the tournament in birdies. He Grayson Murray'd the whole tournament.
Wait, he finished dead last in that one?
He finished close to DFL, yes. Yes, he did.
But he did have a couple. I mean, I know he had like a 66 one day. And
yeah, I think he had one good day. But then he crapped the bed.
You know, here's what I think about this. First off, I was kind of hoping he'd wait until like the actual season started.
Yeah, we were wrong because we predicted it would be in the you know, like February, March time frame.
Yeah. But I think everybody expects him to go out there and kind of throw up all over himself. I don't think you'll see that happen. I mean, he's obviously the same old competitor that he always has been, and he must feel ready. So, you know, I think we may see some good Tiger at the Hero. I mean, I don't think he's going to win or anything. There's only 16 guys anyway, so I guess if he does, it's. But I'm looking forward to it. You know, you just can't be a golf fan and not be looking forward to this.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and everybody's going to be pontificating about how they think Tiger's going to perform here for the next 6 weeks. I don't think it's going to be great. His swing did not look great to me the other day when he posted the whole stinger video.
See, I liked it, actually. I think he's got a swing that can work for him, and that's not as violent as it seems like.
It's definitely not that. It's definitely not that.
So I like it. I feel like he's got a little bit of a Pat, kind of old man swing to him.
Jeez. Tiger is the furthest thing from having a Pat swing.
No, but we know that. But horrible. I mean, I feel like he's realized that he doesn't need to just swing as hard as he can anymore. And just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's no Scott Strohmeyer, that's for sure.
No, but I mean, I think here's the thing: just get to the Masters, Tiger. Just make it to Augusta.
Speaking of that, I could hear the ticket prices increasing when he made that announcement. We all knew he was going to kind of come back for the Masters, but it just solidifies it. And anybody trying to go to the tournament before, yeah, we've had a couple of you guys reach out to us about getting to Augusta, getting tickets, accommodations, playing golf, where to stay, all that kind of stuff. That's awesome. Feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to help you. Email us, info@tourjunkies.com. We'd love to help you guys. We've been here our whole lives. We know what's up. We can get you tickets. We can help you find a place to stay. It is the tickets are not cheap. So we cannot give you a discount on tickets. The reason is not because we don't like you or because we're not, you know, awesome people. It is because that does not exist. Okay. Like, there is no discounted master ticket. So if you find one that is shockingly inexpensive from someone you don't know, it is not real. Somebody's going to get arrested. So all we can promise you is that where we get tickets and badges is trusted, it's local, it's people we've known for years, not a problem. But you will pay basically the same, you're going to pay money for it. Less than you would on like SeatGeek and StubHub because they have all those fees, but it's still going to be expensive. So don't message us if you really want a Masters ticket at like face value. That hasn't happened in like 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's enough of that. Anything else? Any other comments on the Tiger story?
No.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
I'm excited. It's good for golf. It's great to have in December, like right as we're about to take like another like 2 or 3 week break from golf tournaments for Christmas and all that stuff. It'll be nice. It'll be nice to liven up the hero a little bit. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah. By the way, Kiz is playing in the hero.
Is he?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Christmas, holiday cash. If you need it, I know where to get it, Pat. Do you know where to get it?
Holiday cash?
No. Yeah. Or yes, holiday cash. Do you know where to get it?
The holiday cash tree? I don't know.
That's stupid. No. You get it on MyBookie. That's the place to score serious cash on your sports predictions, Pat, which is what you've been doing.
I've been doing it lately on MyBookie. You've been doing it.
It's all your holiday cash. Believe it or not, the holidays are right around the corner. And while that means a lot of partying, gifts, and spending, that also means football, basketball, and hockey, if people actually watch hockey. So man up and play like the pros on game day. You can play the money line, the side, or total. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs and super fast payouts. Where you are betting, Pat, is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to bet, if you want to make money betting, you go to MyBookie.ag. It's the only site that Pat and I play on. It's the only site, really, Pat's ever made a lot of money on. We trust them, but, you know, check them out for yourself. They have odds on every matchup and a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone super easy. So go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code TOUR100, that's TOUR100 in the promo code box, and you can play, you can win, and you can get paid. And they will give you a 50% sign-up bonus. So you put in $100, guess what? They give you 50 extra. So it's a good deal. Free money, right around the time for the holidays, hit you a little parlay. Get you a little poor man's bet. That's what me and Pat like to do. A little poor man betting. A little three-way, a little four-way parlay. You know, maybe first-round leader bet on Thursdays. That could be fun. That's what you got to do. What you got to do. So, there you go. My bookie. Leading up to this week, Pat, the Shriners Hospital open. I want to get into that. I do want to say major props to Charlie Hoffman. You know, Charlie announced today he's donating 100% of his winnings from the tournament to the victims of the Las Vegas shooting that happened a few weeks ago. Charlie's a local Vegas guy, went to school at UNLV, obviously loves the community, and major props to him for doing that. And we definitely remember those the victims. Is only a few weeks ago. Like, don't forget it and support him where you can. And it'll be, I think it's going to be cool to see like how the PGA Tour gives back to an area like Las Vegas that just went through that. In fact, I just read, I think it was last week, I think that the PGA Tour has given more money, gave more money to charity last year than the NFL, NBA, like all the major sports. Don't fact check me on that because I could be wrong about like one or two things, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. So really cool to see those guys step up and do that. And I feel like something like that's contagious. Like Charlie Hoffman will do it, and somebody else will probably do the same thing. And then you just got to hope they actually make the cut and make some money, because I'm sure those victims need some help. It's got to be tough. So shout out to Charlie Hoffman. Big shout out.
Yeah, really cool. And a lot of players do that. You know, we've saw it with recently with Houston and the hurricane, yeah, and Irma, and you know, birdies. You know, I think Sergio came out and said, you know, I don't know, yep, it's good stuff. You see a lot everywhere on the tour. Really is cool.
Very cool. They'll be, as if Charlie Hoffman wouldn't have enough kind of hometown support. You know, when you say you're going to donate your entire check to that cause, there's going to be a lot of people pulling for old Charlie Hoffman this, yeah, week. And I'm one of them. Whether I have him in my lineups or not, who cares? It's a lot bigger than that. Definitely pulling for Charlie. So, Pat, why don't you get us into the course breakdown for TPC Summerlin and the Shriners Hospital Open, bud?
Yeah, so this week, hey, guess what? We got a cut this week.
Hey-o, it's cut time.
We have a cut, so we get to have the cut sweats. I am pumped about that. So, yes, the Shriners Open in Las Vegas, Nevada. We are at TPC Summerlin, playing just under 7,300 yards. It's a par 71. We got bent grass greens this week. This course plays pretty easy for the most part. I mean, if you look at the history of it, It was 40th as far as easiest courses on tour last year, 34th the year before that, and then 42nd the year before that. So there's a lot of birdies, a lot of eagles, actually. If you look at the history of this event, at least from what I did, which was the last 3 years, it is one of the most yielding or eagle-yielding courses on tour in the top five the last 3 years. So, hey, you know, you get those extra points for the eagles, so that's something to look at. You got three
many eagles yielded.
Do you like that? Eagles yielded?
Yes.
Three par fives, four par threes on this course. You know, it's for me, when I was looking at stats, it was mostly total driving, strokes gained off the tee, of course history and recent form, and then strokes gained approach. One of the reasons I said total driving is, you know, the greens aren't exactly like incredibly hard to hit. They're actually quite easy, and the fairways are okay, but you really got to position yourself well off the tee. So you do need to hit the fairways and position yourself well to be able to score out here. So I think that that's important for that driving accuracy and a little bit of distance as well. Past champs here, you had, as you mentioned, Rod Pampling last year. The year before that, Pamps. Smiley Kaufman with his first win on tour. Then you had Ben Martin in 15. Our boy Webb Simpson the year before that. Ryan Moore and Kevin Na. So there you go. A little quick course breakdown there. What do you got to add? By the way, weather. I didn't even look at the weather, but I'm just going to assume it's sunny in Las Vegas. So
yeah. All the same stuff. I am a little more stat heavy this week than I have been in weeks past. I'm getting back to like vintage DB, a little stat heavy stuff here. I think the strokes gained approach stat is the most weighted stat that I have. Just below that would be DraftKings scoring, as that is really what we're all looking for, right? We're looking for the guys to score. Just below that, I kind of did a blended stat of like good drive percentage, which that stat is an official stat. Good drive percentage is when guys either hit the fairway and make a green in regulation, or they miss the fairway and still get a green in regulation in par fours and par fives. So it basically, you know, are they too far off the grid, or are they in the primary cut and they're like buried and they can't get on the green? So good drive percentage and strokes gained off the tee, I blended a little bit. Strokes gained off the tee, you can tend to get a lot of the bombers off of that just because of the length alone. So I felt like matching it up with good drive percentage continued to reward those guys who could pound fairways. And I also think putting's going to be important this week. I think the bent grass greens and the guys who can make the putts are going to be important. So I think when you look back, and I looked at fantasynational.com, when you look at fantasynational.com and guys who've played well here in the past, strokes gained putting tends to pop a little more than it does on other courses. So those are my key stats. I'm not going to get too bogged down as we break down players as like what all boxes they check, but I'm just going to tell you if they're box checkers or not. So that's kind of the play. By the way, if you want to get in on Fantasy National, you can go to fantasynational.com/TJ and sign up. That would be great. That would help us out. And listen, fantasynational.com, I mean, they don't pay us to do this, but like, it's Moose runs that thing, and it's unbelievable. Yeah. It's really good. It's literally, at this point, the only tool that I use anymore.
It's a life changer for me.
It's amazing. Yeah, it really shortens up the research time. It helps us out a lot. So fantasynational.com/TJ. Let us know if you sign up. It's good. You need to join. I promise you. You get in there and dig around, you'll find it worth your money. If you don't find it worth your money, then let us know and we'll plead your case to Moose for you. How about that? Pat, I'm excited because I feel like finally there's a no-cut event. This is chock full of new talent on the PGA Tour, and I think there's some value all over the place. I think it's kind of scattered. This is one of those weeks where, you know, it's early in the season. Some of these guys have yet to prove themselves. You know, there's just it feels like the world is your oyster here with these 141 players, and I'm excited. So let's get into this. Let's get into the picks. I'll tell you, for me, first of all, it's going to be a fairly studs and duds approach for me. I feel like there's a couple of guys, and I'm going to be very specific here. Okay, I forced myself to narrow it down. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys below 7,000. That's how many guys I found value when I did the research. I found 7 guys below 7,000 that I think are worth playing. Now, I actually think there's a few more. So, like, if y'all are going to tweet us or you're going to hop in the chat room on Roto Grinders later in the week and ask us, hey, should I play this guy? I'm not going to be mad at you. If they pop for you and you like them and it's your gut feel, then that's what you do. There's not a whole lot of guys in here I'm just going to be like, oh, heck no, don't play that guy. But I found 7 guys that I'm a big fan of. So when I see that, I'm going up top. I can find the value below. So I like some of these boys up in the 10K and above range. In fact, I like all of them, except I will not have a whole lot of Finau exposure. And that's pretty much because he was 44% owned last week. Good Lord. And he did finish T11, which is great. So he basically returned value. I mean, he was a, you know, that's a good value. And at 11.7, the highest price guy, I mean, I'm just not going to pay up for that. So Finau's a fade. And Lahiri is a fade. Just because, truthfully, like, I know Lahiri's been playing better lately. But you remember when we were at what tournament were we at, Pat? Were we at what tournament did we go to this year? And we saw Lahiri on the 18th. Or no, it was the Players. We weren't there. We watched it. Remember when he duck hooked like 3 shots in a row? I cannot get past that. I just can't. That's the dumbest thing, and it's totally nonsensical. It should not be that way. The guy's been playing really good here lately. But I'm looking at 10,300, even in a weak field. Lahiri being the third price guy is ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous.
I feel like there's
ludicrous.
Some kind of something wrong with the algorithm with him being up there. I mean, look at the stats and you go in there and you're, I mean, he's just, there's nothing. Like, he's, I don't really see where, I don't see that.
Well, I get the form, and
the
he
form's
is a scorer.
Okay. Yeah,
I get
he
the
has
form.
Been in recent form.
But let me tell you, out of the first 10 guys, if you said, tell me the guy who, if they play this event 10 times, is going to miss the cut more than everybody else, it's Anirban Lahiri.
Yeah, I mean, too much.
He is going to either top 5 or miss the cut. There's not a lot of in between. But either way, like, the only way he really returns value is to top 10, top 5 maybe. I'm not paying for him. Not Anirban Lahiri. I'm not doing it. So those two guys I'm fading. I'm a big fan of Webb Simpson here. He's gained 30 strokes. 30 at TPC Summerlin. He's mentioned how much he likes his course. It reminds him of his home track. And that's 30 strokes over the last 4 years and the last 4 events playing here. His odds are 16-1. He's a strokes gained approach stud, which is my highest weighted stat. We know he's accurate off the tee. He's not a great putter, but he actually came around towards the end of last season putting really well. And if you're a bad putter or not a great putter, to me it's easier to putt on bent grass because it's true. It's, you know, you got Paul Tesori on the bag, 17 years. He's going to get the read right. Bent grass greens do what they look like they're going to do. So I'm taking Webb. I'm going to have a lot of Webb. And then I really like a lot of the guys. I mean, I like Chapel and I like Hadley. Those are Webb, Chapel, and Hadley. I'm going to pump a lot of those guys. Probably have more Webb and Chapel, but I'm still going to have some Hadley exposure. You can't argue with the form. Kevin Chapel, another great iron player, strokes gained approach guy, long enough to take advantage of the par fives here. I love those three guys in the 10K range. And with my 7 guys that I have below 7K, I can easily fit, you know, I can fit a couple of these guys in a lineup and still have a decent GPP squad, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree on Webb. Hadley, for me, I don't know. I just feel like he's been playing extremely well. I'm wondering what his ownership is going to be this week.
I don't know that people are still. Maybe they're not still willing to pay up for Hadley. Like, everybody knows he's playing well, but even myself, Russell, I still wrestle a little bit with paying up for him. But you can't argue. I mean, the form is really good, and he's not a rookie on the tour. I mean, he's played the PGA Tour.
No, he ain't no rookie, but
he's a winner on the PGA Tour. Yeah. Like,
but I still don't know. I still think Finau is worth a play. I mean, I know you're fading him, but I mean, you just look across the board at the stats. He's number one in the field. You know, well, depending on how many rounds you're looking at, but in strokes gained off the tee. You know, I think, you know, and scoring, DraftKings scoring, he's up there. So I just think it's hard to avoid that. I think he is, you know, another guy that, you know, I talked about when I went through the course breakdown about eagles. I mean, he's number one in the field, you know, in eagles as well. So I think Finau is the type guy that could score for you. He may not win, but I think you might get a ton of points out of him. So I could see playing Finau. I'm not totally fading him. I understand the ownership, but
I mean, ownership's going to be at least. I mean, he's 44% last week, but that's in a.
It won't be that. It won't be that much this week.
No, it's in a short field. I mean, he was in the WGC, so.
And he's a DFS guy. I mean, everybody seems to play him. Yes, I understand that.
But even in a 141 person field, I mean, he's at least 20%. We can comfortably say 20. Yeah.
But I'm okay with that at that price.
I mean, not as the highest priced guy with Tony Finau. I mean, it's not Jordan Spieth. It's not Dustin Johnson. And I love Tony Finau.
Yeah.
But it's not those guys. So
all that all that being said. My favorite play is not in this 10K and above range. It's right below it, Patrick Cantlay. I think he is the play of the week. I will have a ton of them. If you look at his odds, I've actually seen him at 16-1, which puts him up there in that 10K range. As a matter of fact, it puts him up there right there with Webb and even Finau. So I think Cantlay at 9,700, and the guy doesn't miss a cut, so you don't really have to worry about that. I mean, I don't think he'll miss a cut.
Totally. I mean, cash game lineups start there for sure. He's a strokes gained approach stud. I don't mind Cantlay.
So I think Cantlay is my favorite guy. I mean, just kind of transitioning in this range. But, you know, I can't argue with – I'm totally with you on Lahiri. Can't play him. I don't know. Chapel I'm okay with, but –
So, all right, what about the rest of the 9K range?
There's only one. I'm not playing Ryan Moore. I'm not
what? I knew you were going to be on Ryan Moore.
I'm not playing Kevin Na. Actually, the only one that I really like here is Ben On at the bottom there at 9,100. I mean, he's a checks the box on strokes gained off the tee approach. I don't see it there with Na and Moore right now. Who knows? But I just feel like because, like you said, there's so much value when you get down into that lower 8K, 7K range, there's just not a lot here. I mean, Ben On is sort of the guy, and then Cantlay at the top.
Well, Ben On, I do have a big old star next to his name. I like him. I like him a lot. Definitely a sneaky good play here to me. I mean, a great scorer in good form. Gaining strokes off the tee, gaining strokes approach. 11th at the CJ Cup and 21st at the Italian Open before that. I'm a little surprised you weren't on Ryan Moore. I'm going to have some Ryan Moore. I mean, we saw him at the Safeway kick off the season with a T17, which is pretty good. I mean, he didn't have the best season last year. He missed a lot of cuts. But this is a home game for Ryan Moore. You're going to hear a lot of the local connections going on between some of these guys. Ryan Moore, a UNLV guy, gained 34 strokes on the field at this event in the last 5 years. That's a lot. So if I get that kind of course history, the local connection,
And I've seen some good form, like the Safeway, the T17, and then even the BMW before that was a T20. I don't mind taking a chance on Moore, but Cantlay is my favorite. Cantlay, I would go Cantlay, Benon, and Ryan Moore are the only three, and in that order in the 9K range. So
and
I'm
then,
gonna have
and then
Ryan
are you gonna Moore. Avoid Hoffman though, even though he's doing his thing.
You know, I don't know what to do with Hoffman. What are his odds? 40-1. That's what I might just bet Hoffman as an outright. I think I'm going to avoid him.
That
in DFS.
Would be a pretty good bet. I can't believe he's 40-1.
Yeah, I think he's going to be. I think he's going to be pretty popular in DFS. I think the donation thing is going to add to that. He's a local guy too. I mean, like I said. So I think Hoffman, my stake in Hoffman may be an outright winner bet, or we'll see when the tee times come out if his odds are long enough for a first round leader. I doubt they are, but probably an outright leader. That's probably my play for Hoffman.
Okay.
I'm totally avoiding Bubba Watson. I'd love to see him first. Totally avoiding Jason Kokrak. I think that's an inflated price. Horrible strokes gained here at this event. When you look at guys who don't play this course well, Jason Kokrak is arguably the worst in the field. Now, he is coming off of good form. 7th place last week and a 17th at the Safeway. You know, so maybe if you want to dab a little bit in Jason Kokrak, whatever, but... something about TPC Summerlin does not sit well with old Jason Kokrak.
No. By the way, neither does it with Hoffman, who's missed three straight cuts.
Yeah,
here.
No, Hoffman doesn't. Yeah, but I feel like he's going to make the cut this week.
I think he will. Yeah.
Now there are three guys in the 8K range that I like, and three only, and that would be Jamie Lovemark, who is coming off a good finish at the CJ Cup, top five. And checking boxes is Jamie Lovemark. He's checking a lot of boxes for me. I also love, from a GPP perspective, I really like Martin Laird. I'm hoping he goes a little under the radar. T17 at the Safeway, the last time we saw him, checks the boxes in a lot of stat categories. He's gained 11 strokes here in the last 4 years, is comfortable at TPC Summerlin, has verbally expressed his comfort at TPC Summerlin. And I like Laird. Even at 8,600, I kind of like it. The last guy that I like in this category is a guy I was on last week. He finished top 10 at the Sanderson, T13 at the Safeway. Talk about a guy who's just going to pound fairways to death. And that's Kevin Streelman. Like I said, top 10 last week. He's gained 22 strokes on the field in 4 attempts here at TPC Summerlin at 8,400. I like Streelman a lot. If I'm going to go a cash game, I'm going to start a lot of cash lineups with like Cantlay, Benon, and one of those three I just mentioned. And then I'll be 7K and 6K in it, even in cash. So those are my guys. That's it for me.
Well, I can't say I've got too many arguments here. I do like Lovemark. I'm with you there. Don't sleep on Luke List this week. Another guy that can make some eagles and checks a box on the strokes gained approach. So I do like Luke List at 8,300. And then Smiley Kaufman, you know, former winner here. He won here a couple years ago at 82. You know, he's at 8,200. I feel like he is starting to come around with his game. And I just, you know, I want to be on the front end of that. You know, he was, T4 at the Sanderson Farm, so he had some good play there. So I feel like, you know, Smiley is just a guy that, you know, we seem to forget about, you know, every, you know, just based off of how this past year.
You're on him last week, which is good. Good call. Yeah.
Well, I like him again this week, so... That's about it, though, for this 8K range.
What about the higher 7K range for you? You got anybody there?
I do. A couple in particular. I like Harris English at 7,900. You know, I always take a bulldog.
Yuck!
Look, man. I mean,
he's terrible form.
Yeah, but he has incredible course history here for a guy in his price range. You know,
$7,900. That's still
T4 last year, T16 the year before that. He has gained 17 strokes on the field in his his time here. So I don't think Harris English is a bad play at all. I mean, I like him at $7,900. Also, Russell Knox at $7,800 is another guy that I think could be a very good play. He's gained 24 strokes on the field since 2012 with a T38, a third place finish, a T30, and then a T13. So up at the top, I'm actually, English and Knox are two of my favorites right there.
I disagree vehemently on Harris English. I cannot get on that. Quickly, I like Seamus Power once again at $7,700. I was on him last week, a T18 finish. Seamus is checking boxes and also another one of those par five scorers. He can take advantage of that. And how can you ignore Nick Taylor at $7,600? I mean, I never thought I'd say this, but how can you ignore Nick Taylor? Like, dude's form is criminal right now. It's so good. T23 at the CJ Cup, T13 at the CIMB, T9th at the Safeway. And he's playing at those last two events are big boy fields, and Nick Taylor's putting out top 25s and, you know, top 13. I'm thinking if you want a cut maker, if you're going studs and duds and you're going to have like a little 76 hundy left in a GPP or something, Nick Taylor's going to be a cut maker. I don't see how he misses the cut here. I think that'd be surprising. In addition to Taylor, a guy who checks boxes but is not in great form as far as the last time we saw, I think I'm going to go to Sam Saunders. Sam Saunders, when I did my stat model on Fantasy National, Sam Saunders checking boxes in those stat categories that I mentioned in the beginning. He did miss the cut on the Safeway, which was a little surprising given his form at the end of the year was pretty solid. But I think it might be time to go back to him. At $7,500, I think Saunders is a good buy. Other than that, I mean, I might have a little bit of Scott Piercy, another local guy, lives in Vegas, big time Vegas guy, has gained 22 strokes on the field in the last 5 years at this tournament. Not very good at the CIMB, but I was shocked to see the T17 to open up the season. I mean, prior to that, Scott Piercy had done nothing. I mean, literally didn't make a cut didn't play in September, didn't play in August because he didn't qualify for the PGA. Basically just sucked except for like May. But I think Piercy being the Vegas guy could be a play. I'm going to have a little bit of exposure to him. That's it there.
Well, I do like Piercy. I'm with you there. I think, you know, again, there's that local connection. You know who interests me here is Austin Cook at $7,500. I mean, if you look at his stats, I mean, he's top 10 in the field in DK scoring. He checks a box on strokes gained off the tee. Also putting around the green. I mean, this guy's he's checking some boxes, as you might want to say. So
yeah, he's a little dink and dunker. He's like a little isn't he a little petite fellow?
Yeah, you know, and he finished T25 at the Sanderson Farms. Not great, but I think Austin Cook could be a little sneaky play this week. So
he's got Kip Henley on the bag for him.
Yeah. Yeah, so other than who you've said, I mean, I think he's the only other one I would add there. So now we need to get into the 6K range, which I know you're just ready to tell us all the guys that you love in here.
Well, you know, and listen, we're excited. We got a full field, so we're going to name a lot of guys here, but don't be adding us about the names that we're – but I still have I do think Patton Kizzire at $7,100 is worth a look. It's good to see Patton get a little form under him. The Sanderson Farm Championship finished top 10. Loves a good putting contest. Like I said, when I saw strokes gained putting having some weight historically at TPC Summerlin. I see Patton Kizzire, definitely a guy who just can check some boxes from a good drive percentage and things like that. So 7,100, I don't mind a little Patton there. Other than that, maybe at 7,000, another like GPP kind of play. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. I don't want to trap myself. No, well, okay, yeah, I will. Tyler Duncan interests me a little bit.
What?
Web.com grad. Started off the season with a T5 at the Safeway, but missed the cut last week. He just had a horrible Thursday. But Friday had a 68. But at the Safeway, in his first PGA Tour event, he racked up 21 birdies and 2 eagles. This guy played really well on Web.com. So Tyler Duncan for me is a GPP option that's probably going to be like 2% owned or less, unless like somebody really chats him up. So anyway, that's the last guy in the 7K range.
Well, I think John Huh makes some sense.
What?
It's 6,800. I mean, the guy is.
You're just team course history. That's all you are.
Well, I mean, he's never finished outside the top 30 here. He's missed one cut in the last 5 years. He's gained 21 strokes on the field. You know, for a guy priced at 6,800, I think that's a good play. I don't know. Alex Chayka interests me a little bit.
He's one of my seven.
So I think, I can't even remember why I like Alex Chayka now.
Well, I mean, we all know you, Pat. You like him because it's course history, and that's all you. That's what you do.
Well, yeah, that's right. There you go. So he's gained 22 strokes on the field. He's got a T27, a T2, and a T18 here. Yeah. Okay. Hey, look, course history. It's huge.
I mean, he's missed the cut every time out since August, which isn't great.
But he's had some injuries.
This could be kind of a turnaround event for him. I'm not going to have a lot of him. I'm not going to have a lot.
No,
he's probably the bottom. He's the seventh out of seven that I like in this range. So let me start at the top. I like three guys, well, including Alex, four. I like four guys at 6,900. Jaeger, Hagee, and Aaron Wise. Steven Jaeger, I was on last week. He did okay. T51, not great. He had 14 birdies, thanks. But, anyway. Steven Jaeger, great. Top five overall on the web.com last year. Checks the box from some stat categories I like. Brandon Hagee is just, at 6,900, that's a super low price for a guy like Hagee.
Yeah.
You're getting a bomber. He's not super accurate, but he scores in the par fives. He can eat up. So, I don't know how you don't have. I mean, he was 8,800 last week in the Sanderson. Like, it's not like the Sanderson. Like, this field is stronger, but it's not that much stronger. For him to drop $2,000 is a gross misprice. I mean, his Vegas odds to win are 110-1, which should kind of have him in the mid sevens. So I think there's a value there with Hagee. The guy right below him I really like, and that's Aaron Wise. T25 at the Sanderson, 21 birdies last week. 21, okay? I just referenced Brandon Hagee, who finished 18th and had 16 birdies, okay? Wise finished 25th and had 21. The dude scores. That's a lot of DraftKings points.
Can I add something on Wise?
Yes.
If you look at the field, my theme of the week has been eagles gained. He is number three in the field in eagles.
Also has some local ties to this area, so he's another local kind of guy. He's played this course plenty of times. He's familiar. Getting down a little bit lower, I like Michael Kim. At 6,800, I like him in those GPP contests where I just need a scrub that's going to make the cut. Michael Kim's going to putt well. He's going to scramble well here. He's not going to have to overpower the course, which is good because he can't do that. But I think he's a sneaky good cut maker and just a solid play. I don't see upside being more than like a top 25. So like if you're playing in a large GPP where you're going to need, you know, the worst guy on your roster to finish top 25, I don't know that I would play Kim. But if you're playing in a little, you know, smaller tournament or you know, something like that, then I would roll with Michael Kim. But actually, my two favorite guys in this range are even cheaper, Pat. They're even cheaper.
Wow.
The first is that has Vegas odds at 160 to 1. 160 to 1. Which is a value for where he's priced. He should be up a little bit. But at $6,700, Camilo Vajegas is interesting to me. Old Camilo. You know, played in the CIMB, played in the CJ Cup, you know, played the Safeway. Not really great finishes, a 17th at the CIMB. But for Camilo, like just to be kind of around, I think that's good. But he's gained 7 strokes here in 4 years. Not great, you know, not the 34 that Ryan Moore's gained, but he's familiar with the golf course, and I feel like he's another kind of cut maker. And Camilo can pop every now and then. Camilo can just come out of nowhere and pop. But my favorite play in the 7K in the below 7K range, my absolute favorite play is Joel Damon at $6,600, the minimum price. I followed him on Shot Tracker last week, okay? Because his caddy is our boy Gino Benelli, who's been on the podcast.
Is it Damon or Damon?
Damon. Okay. I think we lost Gino, but every event that he's in, I follow him on Shot Tracker, no matter whether I have him or not. And dude was peppering fairways and greens. I knew he was. And then Gino basically told us tonight, he said, Joel could not chip off of those Bermuda tight lies. And Joel can't chip anyway, but like Joel could not chip off of those tight Bermuda lies last week at Sanderson. And Gino's words were he gave up 7 shots just trying to chip off of that stuff. I mean, and I believe it because I watched him tee to green like he was on point. And I think after Friday's round, he was in pretty good position. He had a rough weekend. But I think he's a solid cut maker this week. In this field, he's a cut maker. And I think he's got top 10 upside, honestly. I think he's got top 10 upside on the bent grass. Fairly easy to hit greens, like you mentioned. So, you know, ideally, we can take the wedges out of Joel's hand around the greens. Please, dear God, don't let Joel have to chip around the greens. But I like Damon. I'm going to have a lot of Damon, and I'm going to be sweating some Joel Damon. And I'm going to be texting Gino if crap starts hitting the fan.
I can't disagree there. Go. Take it.
All right, well, all right, Pat. You got anything else you want to contribute to the Tour Junkies podcast tonight?
Nothing else in the 6K range. That's all I got. Great stuff, by the way.
All right, a lot of picks tonight, but we're excited. You know, we're excited, and again, this is a tournament full of opportunity, as you have just so many, you know, so many unknowns right now. So this is the week to play. Like this week and like the RSM, you know, you got full field events. Play. Use some bankroll, okay. Hey Pat, we got the Roto Grinders video coming out on YouTube on Tuesday. Your video last week was quite funny. I will say if people missed Pat's HSBC video on YouTube, you need to go back and watch it. You did a good job.
It was good.
Basically, every week Pat and I are trying to make this thing funny or do something ridiculous and see how far we can push the line against Roto Grinders before they tell us, hey guys, can you guys stop being idiots? I feel like that's kind of the plan. So even if you know, you're like, hey, I listened to the podcast, I got all the information I need, no thanks, I'm good, just go watch the video. It's still funny. It's entertaining. It's like 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes.
It really isn't. Yeah, it's so worth.
Give it a thumbs up, subscribe, comment, and be like, man, those Tour Junkies guys are great. It helps us out. So. That video is on the way. We got Kiz shirts for sale. Who lit the Kiz shirts? We only got about 20 or so left. They're in the store. You don't have to pre-order them anymore. You can order them, Pat will ship them. Those will be shipped out probably next week. We've also got the Kisner Foundation event this weekend. So hopefully we'll get, maybe we'll have some content from that, Pat. Maybe we'll have a little content from, we'll be at Kisner's first ever nonprofit Kisner Foundation charity event this Friday night. It'll be pretty cool.
Very excited.
Looking forward to that.
Very excited to be there.
So stay tuned for that. Hopefully we don't do anything really stupid. But if you're bored late on Friday night, just like keep refreshing Periscope to make sure we're not doing anything stupid. If you're worried
about somebody doing something stupid, I wouldn't worry about David. You probably got to worry about me.
Right. And listen, if you're a friend of ours, like if you see us on there doing something really dumb, please like direct message us and be like, hey guys, you need to take that video down. That would help. Okay, Pat, I want to spring on you two ideas. This is late breaking content here. Maybe just one idea for this week, because we're already at an hour. We'll go one idea. I'll save the next one for next week. I'll tease it. Christmas is around the corner. We already mentioned that, right? Mybookie.ag. Christmas is around the corner. And I'm wondering if there's some Tour Junkies fans out there that would like some TJ swag. But you're like, listen, guys, it's hard for me to justify spending $25 on a t-shirt and $5 on shipping. My wife would kill me, blah, blah, blah. But Christmas is around the corner, right? So what you need is you need a little secret Santa to communicate to your wife, your girlfriend, your fiance. Hey, we got a couple ladies that listen to us. Maybe your husband, your boyfriend, your fiance. You know, maybe your flavor of the month for December. Listen, if you're single, we don't recommend you dating anybody in the month of December. It just means you got to spend money on presents. But if you've already made that mistake, you know, we could help you out. But what I'm suggesting, Pat, is what if we had the listeners that wanted something from the shop send us the email addresses to their significant others, and we will give them a personal, handcrafted email saying, we know your husband, Mark, okay? And Mark wants this t-shirt, and here's the link, and you can get this for him for Christmas, and he will be happy with you. I think that would be a good thing. I would want somebody to do that for me, because sometimes, I love my wife, but sometimes I don't want another purple tie.
I would love somebody to do that for me every day, or every holiday, I guess. Pick it for me.
Yeah. So if you're brave enough to give your wives' email addresses to us, I realize how outrageous this may sound to some, but you guys can email us info@tourjunkies.com and say, this is what I want, this is my size, and this is my wife's name and email address.
We promise David won't get creepy.
We will not get creepy. We are both happily married, but we will gladly construct a personalized email to her and supply her with all she needs to make your wildest dreams come true in the TJ shop. We can't help you in any other department. Pat's been on a dry spell for like half the year. So
yeah, don't ask me.
But if you'd like us to do that, I think that would be a lot of fun. It would be a lot of fun for us. It would be nice to see. And we need to get some stuff. We need to get rid of some stuff in the shop. Which, by the way, there's also some stuff on sale in the shop. There's a lot of stuff on sale we're trying to get rid of. So just, it could be so easy.
Guys, I have to say this. We have some, I'm looking at it now. We've got 4 or 5, maybe 6 polos left. These polos are the best fitting and feeling polos I've ever put on my body.
The polos are pretty sweet.
And they're still available in the store.
Now we have white ones left only. The navy ones sold out.
I don't understand what's the problem with white ones. I mean, the white ones are fine, but...
Well, you need to update the shop, because I think the shop only says we have 3 left. And you just said 4 or 5 or 6. Are you hoarding polos?
1, 2, 3. We've got 5 left.
Well, you need to update the site.
I'll update it left.
Jeez. You got one job, Pat, really. Okay. All right. That was a good episode. Hope you guys enjoyed the... What tournament is this? Oh, yeah, Shriners. Hope you guys enjoyed the Shriners Open. Shriners Hospital for Kids Open Tournament Preview Podcast episode. We enjoyed it, and remember to do all the things we asked you to do during this hour and 6 minute long podcast. All right, well, above all else, may your screens be green this week. Thanks for listening to the podcast. See ya.
Out.